Good afternoon. This is Alfred Wallace with the Decatur Herald and Review for Friday, April 8th, 2016. We'll begin our reading today from the front page. First, city and county offer cleanup and recycling events. Decatur. Spring cleaners rejoice. The city of Decatur will offer a chance to get rid of large items for free from 2 to 6 p.m. Thursday, April 14th in the Decatur Civic Center parking lot. The event, a partnership with Advanced Disposal, is meant to help residents clean out their garages and basements and discourage illegal dumping of large items. We had really successful cleanups last year, but one of the things we ran into was traffic at our last cleanup, said Rochelle Irons, Director of Neighborhood Services. We're going to just try this to see how the parking lot works. Neighborhood Inspections Administrator Susan Kretzinger said the city deals with illegally dumped items on a weekly basis, often on vacant lots and in alleys. It's always TVs and tires and random large furniture items, she said. Items such as mattresses, furniture, and household items can be deposited in roll-off bins at the cleanup event, as well as limited quantities of tires. Electronics, yard waste, and paint will not be accepted. However, there are ways to get rid of those items, too. Garbage haulers will pick up yard waste for 6 weeks in the spring and in the fall, with the spring pickups beginning April 1st. For an extra $1 a month, residents can receive premium year-round service. Macon County Environmental Management is offering a total of 10 free paint collection items events this year, with the first slated for 12:30 to 5:30 p.m., Wednesday, April 13th. The department recently experienced an unprecedented response to its electronics recycling event on April 2nd. More than 1,000 cars were served, with organizers having to turn hundreds more away, said Director Deborah Hughes Garrett. The turnout far exceeds the largest similar event in the county has held in the last 4 years, which drew 650 cars. We've never had more people than we could handle before, she said. It was pretty unexpected. Two more electronics recycling events are scheduled for June 18th and October 8th, with adjustments planned to help them run more smoothly. Hughes Garrett said the county will have workers to count cars in the line and signal when the event has reached capacity, between 800 and 1,000 vehicles. The rest of the drivers will be notified when the event is closed. That way we won't have people waiting in line just to find out that the gate has been closed, she said. That really upset people and really aggravated them. It really upset us, because we don't like doing that. It was hard for everybody. She attributed the record attendance to several factors. The event was well publicized on social media, and people are increasingly aware of the hazardous materials in television and computer monitors that caused lawmakers to ban them from landfills. Also, it has become very difficult to find places to recycle those items. Best Buy stores in Illinois stopped accepting computer and television monitors on February 1st, citing the high cost to dispose of them. All these materials that come out of electronics and TVs are commodities. The commodity prices are at rock bottom and have been for almost a year now, Hughes Garrett said. Anyone that's trying to deal with commodities and sell them knows that companies are struggling in terms of trying to sell these materials. Each electronics recycling event costs the county thousands of dollars, she said, which is why there are only three scheduled this year. For those who can't make the next event or do not want to wait in line, BLH Computers Incorporated will recycle television and computer monitors. The company, which has offices in Taylorville, Springfield, and Jacksonville, does charge for the service and offer a voucher in return. Christian County residents can recycle for free. For more information, visit www.blhcomputers.com/recycling. More information about upcoming recycling events and how to safely recycle various items is available at macongreen.com. Next, speakers urged Decatur to work together. Decatur. Ray McElroy described Thursday how he wanted to make a tackle on his first play in the NFL. Instead, McElroy picked up audience member Caleb Smoes on stage and showed how he was upended on the play by an unanticipated blocker, throwing his feet up in the air. "Just like Decatur, when I was knocked down, I didn't stay down," McElroy said. "I picked myself up and finished that play." McElroy, a former Eastern Illinois University player who later played for the Chicago Bears, Indianapolis Colts, and Detroit Lions during a six-year professional football career, was the featured speaker during the Community Leaders Breakfast at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. Prior to McElroy, Nicole Bateman introduced the latest focus for the City Limitless Community Marketing Initiative, which was started last year. The message from the Safe Streets, Strong Community campaign will be changing the perceptions about public safety and crime in the Decatur area, said Bateman, the community marketing manager. "The time is now to tackle the misperceptions that tarnish our image and hamper success," Bateman said. "Perception is not always reality." Decatur's total crime rate has dropped by 56% in the last 20 years, Bateman said. Violent crime is down 55%, and property crime decreased by 57%, she said. "This was not by chance," Bateman said. "We have an opportunity to put the facts out and not sit on the sidelines. We need to speak up and not let others define our story." Since 2002, Bateman said Decatur has been the second safest metro area in central Illinois, behind Bloomington-Normal. "Violent crime has decreased since hitting a peak in 1996," she said. "Local law enforcement officials have been taking a proactive approach in an attempt to cut down on crime," said Jim Getz, Decatur interim police chief. Getz said officers are encouraged to interact with members of the community, particularly youth. "I don't know if that was always the case 20 years ago," Getz said. "Our relationship with the whole community has come a long way. To build those relationships with the youth can pay dividends, not just now, but 10 years from now." Macon County Sheriff Thomas Schneider has been particularly encouraged to see the drop in violent crime, with more than 15 homicides a year in some cases, dropping more recently to single digits. He credited stepped-up enforcement in relation to drugs as part of the reason behind the changes. "You have to have the community involved," Schneider said. "They have stepped up to support law enforcement." Getz and Schneider said their departments plan to be part of the upcoming City Limitless-led efforts to provide information about public safety in Decatur. McElroy said his career is similar to the transition that Decatur is going through. "McElroy overcame obstacles and what others might have thought about him or his teams to achieve his boyhood dream to play professional football by continuing to believe in himself. I know what it's like to be labeled," McElroy said. Shortly after his playing career ended, McElroy said he became a statistic among former NFL players by filing for bankruptcy. McElroy said he had given away too much money and made bad business investments. With the support and help of his family, McElroy turned his outlook around. "After 10 years, things are looking up," McElroy said. "It took a lot of hard work." He said the Decatur community should work together to achieve its goals. "We are stronger when we come together," McElroy said. "McElroy's message is one that should be shared with youth groups," Schneider said. McElroy shared his story later Thursday with students at Decatur Christian School in Forsyth. Superintendent Randy Grigg said he was looking forward to having the students hear from McElroy in a faith-based environment. Grigg said the students can learn from McElroy how to believe in themselves and about the importance of working hard. In more local news, conversation on race includes more voices. Decatur. One criticism that could be made about Decatur's annual conversation on race is that not everyone gets to talk. Organizers blew that potential complaint out of the water this year by abandoning the traditional panel format and seating people around tables in Eisenhower High School's cafeteria for small group discussion. First, it created more than a dozen conversations involving virtually each and every one of the 75 people in attendance. Then, it evolved into a large group discussion with more than two dozen voices contributing. To me, this is one of the more meaningful, this is more meaningful than any of the sessions I've attended before, said Ngozi Onwuah, an assistant professor of education at Millikan University. This gets real people together face to face, sharing diverse perspectives on race, whether you are 22 or 72. Indeed, the event followed a format similar to the Student Summit that precedes the conversation on race, a session involving students from Decatur Public High Schools and Richland Community College, in addition to Millikan. Eisenhower Senior Desiree Ingram said different perspectives at the table Tuesday presented students with ideas they hadn't thought of, and that she hoped Thursday's participants would also learn something they did not know before. Richland student Julia Tereshevsky of Decatur said too often the fear of giving up an advantage scares people into inaction, even when they know that racial inequality is wrong. Millikan senior Maurice Randall Jr. said, "There is really no excuse that in 2016 we are still having these issues. Schools don't have diversity and inclusion training for students, and that's crazy." Ora Jelks of Decatur said she's seen little progress since she graduated high school in 1962 and would like to see something tangible grow out of Thursday's conversation. "For someone who's having problems like me, who can I talk to?" she asked. Christine Gregory, executive director of Dove Incorporated, invited Jelks to talk to her and mused aloud about reactivating her agency's former diversity program. Jeffrey Perkins, founder and president of Caring Black Men, said he is pleased Decatur is ahead of the curve by having a conversation like Thursday's, but expressed disappointment about the so many so-called community leaders who were not there. "That's a problem," Perkins said. "There's a group called Grow Decatur, but if you're going to grow Decatur, an event like this tonight is where we plant the seeds." Next, area employers look to fill job openings. Decatur. Employers attending the career fair on Thursday at Richland Community College were hoping to find qualified applicants to fill a range of job openings. About 40 employers attended the event, which was organized in partnership with Workforce Investment Solutions, said John Oliver, Richland Career Services Coordinator. "I've been impressed by the turnout," said Matt Briggs of Decatur Industrial Electric, which was participating in the event for the first time. "A lot of people have been coming through. We'll have a lot of resumes to look at." The company is looking to hire shop technicians and machinists, and Briggs said the career fair was a new approach to increase its pool of job candidates. Manufacturing was one of the most represented sectors at the event, in addition to others such as hospitality, healthcare, and transportation services, Oliver said. Information was available not just about job openings, but how to acquire training, if needed, to meet the qualifications for the positions, Oliver said. "This is a prime place to start," said Oliver. Richland updates information about job openings in the Decatur area at collegecentral.com/richlandcc, said Oliver. TCCI Manufacturing has a variety of job openings, including entry-level positions in the plant, said Anastasia Lingle, Human Resources Manager. She was looking for applicants who seemed to be a good fit for the company, making their intangible qualities important. "We want them to come in and get along with the other employees," Lingle said. "They should be open to wearing a lot of hats." Lingle said anyone searching for a job should stay active, keeping a positive attitude, and expand their network by doing things such as volunteering. Crossing Healthcare has openings for clerical and clinical positions, including nurses, said Human Resources Assistant Denise Walton, while taking resumes from job seekers. "We are growing tremendously," Walton said. "They should get out to see us, as we have a lot to offer." Walton said job seekers at the event seemed prepared with resumes ready for employers to see. Oliver said job seekers needed to be prepared and appearance while meeting with recruiters is important. He said some recruiters were taking note of those who didn't make a good impression with how they appeared, and likely would not be following up with those applicants. Next, in public safety, social workers get nitty-gritty on drugs. Decatur. Even after hearing a Decatur police detective describe how to do it with a couple of plastic beverage containers, Helen Michalessi declared she's not smart enough to cook methamphetamine. But the executive director of Prairie Land Service Coordination Incorporated and the other social workers who heard Chad Ramey's presentation Thursday know more about what to look for in terms of street drugs as they go about their work. Heroin is definitely the worst problem, he said. Crack cocaine is the most prevalent still, and meth has made a huge comeback because making it is not a big process anymore. A longtime member of the Decatur Police Department Street Crimes Unit, Ramey was one of two speakers at the April luncheon meeting of the Human Service Agency Consortium in Central Christian Church for Alcohol Awareness Month. The other was Vivian Goodman, Executive Director of Decatur Community Partnership, who talked about the costs of underage drinking. Alcohol and drugs are a huge problem for many of our clients, said Michelle Boatman, HSAC Chairwoman and Health Works Supervisor for the Macon County Health Department. Other agencies represented Thursday included Baby Talk, Growing Strong Sexual Assault Center, Health Alliance, Homeward Bound, Macon County Conservation District, Planned Parenthood, and Project Reed. Ramey passed around examples of fake street drugs to show how they are usually packaged, and also faux candles and soda cans with secret compartments for stashing drugs and cash. When Christine Gregory, executive director of Dove Incorporated, wondered what else tiny zipper closure plastic bags were good for, Ramey replied that they are also used for jewelry. Fold and flap sandwich bags are another matter, he said, and are a favored way to package drugs for sale. They're going to put the drug in the corner of the bag and cut away the corner, Ramey said. I don't buy them, but the people making them are making a fortune. He added that discarded beverage containers used to cook meth are highly flammable and that authorities should be called to dispose of them safely. Both those bottles flamed up and burnt in about 20 minutes, he said. It's a bright, bright flame. In crime news, robbery captured by phone call, suspect caught. Decatur. A Decatur woman being robbed in her car at knife point Monday evening by a man calling himself Maine had the presence of mind to leave an open call on her cell phone so her husband could track where she was, according to police. Sworn statements noted the husband followed the robber as he fled on foot and instantly recognized Maine as Willie Fox, because he has been a friend of his for many years. The husband followed Fox to an apartment block where he disappeared, but police caught up with him the next day and he was arrested. Fox, 65, was booked on preliminary charges of armed robbery and vehicular invasion. The statement said the 49-year-old woman, victim's ordeal, began as she was sitting in the parking lot of a store waiting for her granddaughter. She said the man she only knew as Maine got into her car, sat in the front passenger seat, armed with a 3-inch knife, and demanded $500. He was told she didn't have that much money, but she gave him some cash she had in her purse. When the woman's 12-year-old granddaughter came out of the store, Maine had her get into the car and demanded to be driven to an ATM, where he ordered the woman to withdraw all the money she had. She took out the last $80 in her checking account and handed it to him. Police say the woman's husband had called as she was driving toward Boosie Bank at 2505 North Water Street, and she dropped the phone on the floor, fooling Fox into thinking that he had hung up, that she had hung up, while the line remained open. Her husband overheard enough of the conversation to know where they were going, and after his wife had visited the ATM, he had driven to the area and saw Fox when he jumped out of the car later and fled into the apartment block at 1221 North Van Dyke Street. Fox remained jailed Thursday night in lieu of posting a $100,000 bond. In area political news, Representative Davis remains neutral on Trump and Cruz. Decatur. U.S. Representative Rodney Davis won't declare a favorite among the three candidates vying for his party's presidential nomination. The Taylorville Republican told the Herald and Review editorial board Thursday that he would support whichever of the three remaining candidates, Ted Cruz, John Kasich, or Donald Trump, ends up running against the Democratic nominee. The presidential race is one topic that comes up everywhere he goes, the congressman said. Davis had earlier supported Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who dropped out of the race last month. I thought Marco would be a tremendous president, Davis said. I thought he would inspire a lot of young people to get engaged, and I think he could have, but he tried to out-Trump Trump and got engaged in talking about hand sizes, which turns this race into more of a professional wrestling match. Davis also said he did not believe speculation that the party would nominate a dark horse candidate, such as House Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, at the Republican National Convention in July. I'm a huge Paul Ryan fan, Davis said, but I don't know how many times even Paul can say he's not interested. He's not doing this. It's not going to happen. I don't think it will. Davis said he looked forward to the candidates from both sides rising above the reality show atmosphere and focusing on serious issues. High turnout in the Republican primaries bodes well for his party, he said. As for his Republican colleagues in Congress, Davis said the atmosphere hasn't become polarized, even as some might support different candidates. He said he teased some of the first ones who publicly endorsed Trump, but they would have done the same to him. It's more personal, and it's camaraderie-based when you talk about it, rather than, well, my guy is the best candidate because A, B, and C, Davis said. If you have those conversations with your colleagues, then you're really not getting to know who your colleagues are. He predicted that more of his colleagues would start to come out in support of Cruz, believing Trump isn't the best choice. But for his part, Davis is staying out of it. I don't know Trump. I know Ted, and I've met Kasich a few times, he said. I'm just going to let it play out. Now for the local briefs, indicator. North Monroe closure. Entler Excavating is working in the easternmost northbound lane of the 2400 block of North Monroe Street, repairing a storm sewer. This work will close the lane until about 5 p.m. Saturday, April 9th. Lincoln Trail Homestead. A restoration action day at Lincoln Trail Homestead State Park and Memorial will be 9 a.m. to noon, Saturday, April 9th. Judy Parrish, president of the Friends of Lincoln Trail Homestead, said the work will focus on removing brush honeysuckle, cutting up yew stumps, and trimming trees, and will proceed work by the Illinois Department of Natural Resources to create canoe access to the Sangamon River. For more information about the Friends group, call Parrish at 217-433-7893. Dog injured in assault. A Decatur man who allegedly threw a pet chihuahua to the floor Tuesday during an assault on the dog's owner, an occasional girlfriend, now faces preliminary domestic violence and animal cruelty charges. The woman told police she feared her 11-year-old dog had a broken leg. A sworn statement from one of the patrol officers who arrested the suspect said, "I observed the dog favoring his hind legs. The dog had trouble standing up and was completely unable to walk." The woman told police that the 40-year-old suspect had earlier whipped her with a phone charger cord. Meningitis vaccine. The Macon County Health Department will be offering the meningococcal or meningitis vaccine. This vaccination will be provided to high school juniors or any students older than 16 to meet the school requirements. MacArthur will host the vaccinations 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. today. Eisenhower will host 9:30 to 11:30 a.m., Friday, April 15th. Parents interested in having their children participate in this clinic should contact their respective schools. In sports, Tuscola continues its winning ways. Caleb Williams paused, carefully choosing his words about how his pitcher, Nick Bates, is throwing early in the season. Pretty good, Williams said, voice rising as if he was trying to convince himself. He's throwing some gas. He'll improve. It's early. The thing is, Bates is doing just fine. He showed it again Thursday as Descola beat Clinton 4-0, and he allowed just one hit in 5 innings to keep his season ERA at a pristine 0.00. But the pitcher has lofty expectations, and his catcher knows it. On a roster where Bates is the only senior, there is the sense that he has to go out and dominate for a young group. So after he gave up 6 walks, now 17 in 17 innings pitched, it's a grimy area Bates intends to scrub clean. He knows what the problem is, now it's a matter of fixing it. Throw more strikes. Don't walk as many people. Don't go as deep into counts, he listed off. Seems like every inning I have 8 full counts. I probably had like 6 walks again today. I need to cut that down. I think I've gone 5 innings all 3 games, so if I cut down on the walks, I can go deeper into games, which would help. The glass half-full outlook shows 6 total hits allowed, 30 strikeouts, and 0 earned runs. What makes Bates so great on the mound, and what manufactures all those swings and misses, is also what sticks the thorn in his side. If I do happen to get behind, I get angry and try to overthrow, he said. And that's not good for me or him, because he's, i.e. Williams, got to pick balls out of the dirt. That's how that ends up going. I just got to stay relaxed, just trust myself. Tuscola coach Duff Hole laughed and nodded at his pitcher's assessment. He's had that since he was 12, Hole said. But watch him, though. When he needs to make a pitch, he makes a pitch. There's a not more competitive kid in the world as far as I'm concerned. We put a lot of pressure on him, but he's rising to the occasion. It's helped Tuscola jump out to a 10-1 start this season, far surpassing Hole's expectations. With a core four of Bates, Williams, Dalton Hole, and Andrew Erickson returning to the starting lineup, that meant plenty of new faces. Those faces aren't seniors that have paid dues in JV in recent years. That's not an option. Instead, the coach is starting what he has, numerous underclassmen, which include Hole and Erickson, and a few juniors. Several of the underclassmen, he's putting them in new positions as well. Erickson's learning a new position at third, while sophomore Cale Cementi transitioned from the outfield to first base. Shoot, he grew 8 inches, and now he's left-handed, Hole said of Cementi. So, all right, you're going to play first base. He's getting better every day, and that's all we can ask of these guys. There's freshman Cade Cresson, who's worked his way to second in the batting order as he's hitting .375 on the season. Junior Cole Thomas has emerged as a reliable pitcher after Williams is taking time off because of arm soreness. We had a couple opportunities that we didn't capitalize on, but Andrew hitting the bomb in the first was huge for us. Took some pressure off the guys. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Friday, April 8th, 2016, in just a few minutes. Please stay tuned.